Welcome to the DARE podcast, where it is all about helping people overcome anxiety and panic attacks. The DARE app has over 1 million downloads and is free to download at dareresponse.com. Now, without further ado, here is the DARE podcast.
Has the topic of DPDR come up in relation to excessive meditation practice? Would the DARE approach be taken in the same way to help accept and allow those sensations? Probably yes, smiley face. But curious if others with extensive meditation experience have had this happen.
So completely normal to experience that in meditation. There are a lot of people who do it solely for that purpose of changing their perception, because this is actually all DPDR are. It's just a change in perception. Mm-hmm. Just a change in perception. And because the real self notices your change in perception and then freaks out, oh, why has right. my perception? Oh my God. And then comes the story. Remember, the story is so important. Oh my God, I'm freaking out. Oh my God, that's the beginning of schizophrenia. Oh my God, what the fuck? And so on and so forth. So when we smoke weed, when we drink, you know, when we're drunk, that's a change in perception, a major change in perception, not only perception, but also perception. But we know, oh, it was the beer or the wine. So we don't freak out. But when we don't know where it's coming from, there's this, oh my God, element to it. So as long as you remind, if that's what you want to experience in meditation, but I guess you don't, that's why you're asking the question. But if you experience that, it's completely normal. As long as you don't obsess about it, give it the context that it needs. Oh yeah, I'm meditating. It's normal to feel this way. It will subside again. It's all about not obsessing about it. That's so, so important. And not mistaken thoughts or sensations as a bear, which you then fight.
Right. And meditate for the sake of meditation. Because if your fight is against DPDR, then you're going to hook up meditation with DPDR and then not meditate just in case I feel this feeling, right? Just like if somebody's anxiety was hooked up to shortness of breath, then, well, I can't run because I might be short of breath. You may be short of breath, but neither one of those are present danger right now. But you're not doing or are doing certain things, so I don't have this feeling, right? So be mindful of that too. You know, it's some people might have that feeling, some people might not, but we get so stuck and then we kind of join them together and say, I shouldn't meditate because I got disconnected last time. What if it happens again? And what if I've opened some portal in my brain and now I've opened Pandora's box of the enlightenment and now I'll never go back and I'll be like,
that was my story.
Oh yeah. That was somebody else's story this morning.
My story, I swear, because I had my first panic attack while I was meditating. My first meditation session, I had my first panic attack. That is irony, right? That is a joke. Thank you, universe. What the fuck? But of course, and those two things got linked, like, oh, what did I do? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, was it this meditation? It's normal. Yeah. And Jared, if I may respond to Jared, mm-hmm. because he said, this is where I sometimes, now it's gone. Sometimes wonder about things I used to love, like my meditation practice. I wonder if part of becoming anxious was the result of getting too tuned into thoughts and feelings through the practice. No, my bet is you got tuned into thoughts and feelings, but then you got scared. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh no, I'm scared. No. I'm scared. Yep. Mm-hmm. So let me be scared about being scared. And right. This is where you started this chain reaction. But it's such a straight line into an anxiety disorder. You can start with something so simple, like that was a heart palpitation. And then, oh my God, let me check my heart and monitor my heart and blood pressure. Oh, and oxygen too. And what if this and what if that? And it's just your cognition, your appraisal, and your behavior that keeps that going. So although sometimes, Jared, this feels like a mystery, oh my God, an anxiety disorder. No, sometimes it's very clear. Oh, there was something I started to fear, and then I started to behave in a certain way, which made this thing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Awareness is never the problem. It's how we treat what we're aware of, like what we lay, like what we find. And again, you might, when you have a heightened awareness, you'll notice more things. We, because we're the doers and the fighters and the fixers, once we notice more things, we'll notice more things we like, and we'll notice more things we don't like. Negativity bias will show us all the things we don't like. And we're like, those things are the worst. I have to do something about it. Get rid of these things that I've noticed that I don't like. So I'm going to pay very close attention to the things that I notice that I don't like to somehow stop noticing them. You're going to notice them more because that's what you're staring at. And so that's why awareness was never really the problem. It's never what anybody writes in about. It's always how you treated whatever came a second later. Oh, and I had these thoughts and I had these sensations and I'm like, yep, me too. But then what? What did you do right when you had that sensation? I went, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. I went, what does that mean? Or what is the answers to the universe? And we go into like threat mode. And if you act as if you are fighting, fleeing, freezing, or protecting yourself from something, those actions and behaviors in response to whatever it is you were aware of is what trips off that alarm. Otherwise, everybody would have the same exact feeling and response to every thought and every sensation. And we know that's not the case. Everybody's anxiety manifests differently because everybody's just fighting different things.
So Marvin just responded to another question about tinnitus. I had to laugh about your response, Marvin, because you sound a little bit like us. Take 20 minutes, lie down and do nothing.
Nothing.
Just joking, but I love it. Okay. Meditation. How normal are setbacks? How normal are setbacks? I was doing and feeling pretty good. And then I had to go to a work orientation and out of nowhere, I had the worst panic attack that I could remember. I literally thought that I was going to die. I practiced the DARE technique and after a few minutes it worked, but I'm still quite shaken up by it. I'm feeling a little defeated and still scared. Why do you feel defeated? You're alive. You dared. You did everything right. Why do you feel defeated? Just because
it came back. And see, like, that's not the setback. Return of discomfort is not a setback. A setback is a return of disordered responses to the thing that came back. The problem is you deciding that was a problem, which is the problem. Because otherwise it'd be like, oh my gosh, oh, out of the blue, boy, I haven't had this panic attack in a long time and I just had one at work and I just let it be there. Wow, great job. Mm-hmm. And carry on. How you act determines the setback, not return of sensations, how you treat the return of sensations. Watch, there's a video on the DARE YouTube channel. I have a green sweater on. I'm holding a piece of paper with these curved lines that I related to classical conditioning and Pavlov and the dogs, okay? And so this is just how people learn, okay? And this is how people learn, like put association, you learn by association. And then the rest of the experiment was how you kind of unlearn, not really the best word, but like how that bell stopped having so much meaning. And so over a period of time, there's this extinction period. And then you're kind of like, yeah, the dogs hear the bell and they don't do anything. And then, which is exactly this, there's something called spontaneous recovery, where those dogs were going about their day. And for whatever reason, who knows why, right?
We still don't know why.
Right? I don't know why, but that dog heard that bell and it triggered some sort of memory or something. And that dog went spontaneous recovery. And on that piece of paper, it goes down to extinction, basically to zero. And then spontaneous recovery is a ding. It's not just a little bit. It pops right back up as if those old associations kind of pop back up. That's not the problem. This is part of learning. And so then now this is a huge opportunity to decide once that old association pops back up, how you treat what pops back up. Okay. Because if, let's say it was the dogs again in this experiment, if that dog heard that bell and then like salivated and then immediately got food, oh, that's right. This was important. That's right. This reminded me of this. I'm going to act in this old way and relearn those and seal that association again. But if that dog salivated, heard the bell and then got nothing, the extinction process is allowed to continue again. And so it's going to pop up kind of like if you hold a rubber ball and you let go. You're not hitting it. You just let go. It'll go back down, but then it pops back up. It might, you know, start here, go down and pop back up, but generally not as high enough for as long as you don't add any more energy to it, right? It'll bounce back down and come back up again. So the setback, whatever everybody looks at is the pop back up. But as long as you're not smacking it back down and you just let it sort of gradually balance itself out, that's the process of this.
Yes, Katerina. And think about it this way. If Michelle and I or Barry would have a panic attack, we would not even mention it. Why? So what? You know what? It's irrelevant. It's nothing. Do you mention that you have a cold or that you have slept really bad or you had a nightmare like multiple times a day to multiple people? No, you don't, because okay, it was uncomfortable. Yeah. And
I make myself remember it to mention it on the calls just to tell everybody that I still have them.
Yeah.
Right.
So yes. And Katerina, so when you get to the point that you have a panic attack, but you don't care about it, this is when you have won. It's not a problem at all that you had a panic attack. It's not a problem that it surprised you. It's not a problem that you still feel shaken by it. It doesn't matter. I know it feels like a big thing still to you, but this is more the indicator on what to work on. Not that the panic attack occurred, but how upset you seem to be that that happened. This is where your work lies. Focus on that. All your energy on that. Okay.
Great. Okay. Next up. Hey, Michelle and Aida. I just wanted to say you are doing an amazing job. I did not write this.
Thank you.
Love both of your vibes and energies. You must be thinking by now, is there a question? LOL. Yes, there is. Pre-anxiety, I used to enjoy my weekends off work, love being home and catching up on sleep. Now it's like my anxiety doesn't let me relax. I apply the DARE rules, but can't seem to get relaxed and napping definitely not. How can I overcome this? This is holding me back from healing.
Such Misha. A good universal question, isn't it? Everybody on the chat, who feels since they have anxiety, you don't enjoy your own company, or you're afraid to be alone? Or
can't you go just, back to my carefree self. I used to just like to be alone and watch TV, right? That's
And now I can't, I don't want to do these things because now I sit there, watch Netflix, but I'm not focused on Netflix. I'm focused on myself and everything that is going on inside of here. And I treat it as a danger. This is why I can't just be with it. I need to fight it. And because I don't know how to fight it, because there's nothing to fight, I will go and try and distract myself and keep running and running and running. You know what you need to do? You do exactly what you would do if you would not feel anxious. You act as if. Again, remember we said, if you want to go here, there is no direct road to get there. You need to go this way. So you want to feel again calm and composed and enjoying the time with yourself and your own company, but you don't get there this way. You get there this way. And that means you do these things and you feel anxious and you feel heightened and you feel uncomfortable, but you still pretend as if you feel okay. This is how you show your emotional brain. And that's so, so, so important, you guys. Intention is one thing. Action is the other thing. You need to show and not white knuckle your way through. Okay, I'm just going to try and enjoy being really good with myself. Let me watch.
You're fine. You're fine. Calm down. Just watch the show.
I don't want to watch this.
It's fine. Look, you're fine. Just relax.
Yeah, okay. It's okay. You don't do it this way.
Just calm down. Calm down. You're okay. Just watch. Why? Why can't you just relax? Why can't you just watch TV like everybody else? Oh my gosh, it's never going to go away.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Right? Forever. All of that's the problem.
Yes. You sit there, you watch TV, and then you will have thoughts and you expect them. You sure you want to do this? This doesn't feel good. I can hear all of my thoughts. Oh my God, what's wrong with your thoughts? Are you thinking this? Yeah, whatever. You can be there. I'm still going to watch Vikings Valhalla. Have you seen this?
Turns out this girl loves this show because that's all we look for in Ireland.
Right? So you keep doing what you wanted to do. And while you do that, you apply DARE. You do DARE on the go. You don't do DARE. And as soon as I'm finished with that, then I can go and relax and enjoy time with myself. No, you do DARE while you do these things and pretend as if you are calm and enjoying this.
Yeah. And if anybody on the chat, this is like your thing, right? Like, why can't I just get back to the old me? That whole unhelpful little line that we like to give. When you were the old you, were you working really hard at being where you were? You weren't. You were just sort of showing up and existing, right? The problem with here now is we're sort of out of sync. And now we're kind of at the shift. We're like, now we're aware of us being out of sync. And I use this example sometimes. Like, I used to run track in high school, and I was running with my girlfriend. You guys ever do this? Even just walking, when you're running, and then like you feel like your arms and legs get out of sync, and you're like, wait a second, does my left arm go forward with my right arm, with my left leg, or does? And then when you're trying so hard to get back into sync, or when you start hearing your own voice in a presentation and you're like one step ahead of the game and you're trying to like not hear your own voice when before you were just in flow and now you're like in this meta world. Yes. Yeah. All. So that's this stuff. And now we're just aware of feelings, trying to find them when before we were just involved in life and feelings just sort of showed up. We didn't really like do things. We didn't have feelings as a goal. We just experienced them where we are. So, you know, it's this, go back to just experiencing things where you are without a feeling as a goal. Feelings cannot be goals. They are noticeable things that pop up, not goals.
I want to show you why you feel different. So, when you go through life not being anxious, you go through life like this. Your focus is turned outwards. You are existing, you're living. But when you have anxiety, you do this. And no matter what you do, you notice this in your face. You notice what you think, how you breathe, how you move, how you talk. You notice everything. And that is such a constant distraction because now I notice this, but I'm talking to Michelle. And my attention is always divided into two, and it keeps going back to this distraction, which is really just a reflection of my mm-hmm. inner world. And this is why people say, I feel so stuck in my head. I don't like my own company because I'm watching Netflix, but I'm also noticing this constantly. And this will, but when I start to treat this as a problem, oh my God. Why do I notice my thoughts? Why is this hyper awareness? It's still there. Why is it there? Why is it so intense? Maybe it's not just anxiety. What if it's this OCD? Oh, and then you're attending to this, which is not a problem. And when you watch TV while this happens, and with time, this starts to mute down until it turns again to your world, your normal world. And this is when you feel like, everything is back to normal again, right? But this will, you can't control that. So don't fight that. This right. will take care of itself.
Please, guys, take note of this when you leave here. What you can do for the next week until the next webinar is like, what do I notice and what am I choosing to pay attention to? Because even that will kind of get you started with the process. Like if I hold up these two, look, my Ireland pen. Remember we got that in the store?
Yes.
So if it's, and this is really the goal of meditation too, is choose your focus. If I've decided I'm going to focus on the Sharpie for 5 minutes and whatever else comes up that might divert my attention, I'm going to passively notice what that is, give it a nod of acknowledgement and redirect my focus and attention back to the pen. Not because this is good and this is bad, but because this is where I've chosen to direct my focus and attention. Okay. Because the next meditation might be, okay, this is going to be the focus now. Okay. And if I start my mind and attention drifts to here, I can notice the marker, but I've decided, no, this is where my focus goes. This is really the problem with all of the questions. It's not, oh, I've now like, I'm talking to somebody and now I'm aware of my thoughts and feelings while I'm talking to somebody. It's now like you can notice it, but then we get involved in it. We stare at it. It gets our attention and we're trying to stare here to get back to there. When really you have to go back into notice mode for this stuff and go back into involvement mode to get back into where you are. So involve yourself in where you want to be. Don't involve yourself in what you're trying to get away from. It doesn't work like that.
Yes. And try to focus on the actions that will get you there. Meaning as in doing, living your life, not doing as in using tools to make it better, but feeling better comes as you engage with your life.
Yep. Right?
Feeling better comes when you engage in your values and do the things that bring you joy and fun. Will it feel exactly the same? Like when you don't have anxiety? No. So what? Still do them, right? Do them anyway. This is so, so important because only by doing these things, again, you want to get here, you need to take that route. Only by doing this, you can get here. There is no road from here to here, no direct goal in how you feel.
Yeah. And here's my line from this last week. Tell me if you like this one, Ada. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, always talk about the why. It doesn't really matter why, because our whys are usually attached to the wrong things. Why do I have this thought? Does that mean something about me as a person? Why am I having this feeling? Is this a sign of a premonition or whatever? Like all the whys. Okay. So if you want to think about why, switch them to your actions. Okay. It doesn't really matter why I had this thought, where this came from. I'd rather you guys pay attention to what am I doing and why am I doing it? Okay. Cause if that's a good place to hook your whys to. Okay. All right. I'm going for a run. Okay. Why am I running? Oh, because I got to get the hell away from these thoughts. So I just ran 27,000 miles today and I'm running. Like, so you're doing a good thing.
We should turn that into a gift.
I'm running. It's healthy for me. I'm meditating the shit out of these thoughts, right? That's doing a good thing, but for the wrong reason. So like, here's the right action, but the wrong attitude and the wrong intention. And wrong so target. Like, what? Yeah. Wrong target. Wrong target. And so like, move your whys to your actions. Yeah. Whys for the thought. Who knows? I don't know. The answer is, I don't know, but what am I doing and why am I doing it? Sure. I can answer those because those are the things in my control. I choose my actions and behaviors and I can choose to do them or not. And so there should be a reason why you're doing something or not. And if you're doing something to get rid of, then take note of that. Oh, am I only doing this to get rid of this feeling? Okay. Even if I keep doing it, at least I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that process. But no, like at least it'll start shifting to the things that are actually in your control.
Exactly. And when thoughts of why keep coming up, respond to them. Take example of my son. I still don't know the reason behind this or why he would respond in such a way. But every time I ask him, why did you do this? Or why did you not do this? he would respond with, because I'm a tree.
What?
What do you mean?
Because I was not expecting that answer.
Me neither. Trust me. Because I
just get my pen. Oh, I get it.
Really, Randall? I don't get it. Is that the reason? Leave me alone. That is awesome. I love this. Hey. Thank you for helping me solve this riddle, because he wouldn't say why, but it would be his way of, mom, fuck off, right? I don't even want to think about it. So that's my response. Because I'm a tree, who cares? Respond with something. Respond with something that shows that you do not care and that you are not willing to respond to that question, because the why does not matter.
Or you do what my daughter does, which is that, Emily, why blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now do that. Ready? You're going to do this. Just sort of like throw your face. Like basically like, oh, shut the fuck up. Like that's her inside voice. I am sure guaranteed that's what it is, because we get stuck in the whys. Really the answer to most of the whys that come in here are, I don't know. And neither do you.
Renee responded, you're
that's because she sees you do it. Maybe I'm probably doing it back to her. I'm like, Emily, what the hell? And she's like,
Emily, when she was a baby, why are you crying? Why? She learned that from very early age. Randall, thank you so much. My son's going to be thrilled to hear that. Leave me alone. That was awesome. Thank you to everybody who submitted that.
Oh, Aida, I'm glad you found this webinar so helpful.
And we see you guys. Is it next week?
Right. Yeah. We have more questions. We'll try and hit on some of these. So a few people asked, so on the app, if you go to the main page of the app, if I could pull it up now, just go to Dare, and on the main page, if you scroll down, okay, where the hell did it go? Oh, here, live webinars. Okay, right underneath these little guys. You click on this and they'll take you to the recording of the last one. It's always the most recent one that's posted. Okay. And then there we'll give you details on how to submit a question ahead of time. So we try and go through the pre-submitted questions. And if the chat's coming, maybe one day we'll run out of pre-submitted questions and we'll just run it live off the chat. But I don't think that's going to happen. But yeah, submit the questions. And guys, always go back on. Like, that's why we have the Facebook page. Tons of history of people. Type in the search bar on any of the Facebook pages your question. There's a good chance it's already been addressed multiple, multiple times. And you can get different, you know, responses from everybody on there.
Exactly. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you, Michelle. I miss you.
I miss you too. Now I'm back to just seeing the top half of your body. We'll have to do a webinar, maybe the next one just from the waist down.
Yeah, like without the up part.
Oh, and the Facebook page. If you guys are on this, you have access. You have access to the Facebook page for app subscribers. So it's just search DARE app subscribers group. It should pop up, send in a request. And as long as, and just send in the email that you have linked to your DARE app. And then Indy or Andrea will, they are the moderators. They'll kind of let you through it.
Thank you so
much. Bye guys. See you next
week. Have a good one. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the DARE podcast. The DARE app has over 1 million downloads and is helping people all around the world to overcome anxiety and panic attacks. You can download the app for free at dareresponse.com.